Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good morning. Great song to a bad mood. That's the problem.
Turn that frown upside down.
Well,
bro.
That's...
that the world is not... the sky is not falling
it's
yet.
It's not, but here's the problem. From a Philly standpoint, this song should be called Johnny Be Bad. Or Johnny Be Average. Or Johnny Not Be As Good As We Thought. Right? I mean, come on, Seltzer. They're not as good as a lot of people. I mean, I'm a prime example.
Well, you're a prime example. Exactly,
I had him at 97 wins,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And by the way, the starting pitching, other than Nola, has pitched to what could be a 100-win season.
Look, even Taiwan's been
good.
I'm
well aware.
I mean, if you had said to me, Taiwan Walker is going to give you a 3 out of 4 really solid starts, and the Phillies, you're still going to be disappointed with the team a month in, or 3 weeks in,
guys,
I'd be like, you're crazy.
Aaron Nola is 0-5.
Joe, do you know in his first 3 starts, the Phillies managed all of 2 runs?
Well, I do know that that was a factor, but here's
the
thing.
Last 2 games, it's been 8.
For sure, yeah. But I'd give him more leeway on the 0-5 if his ERA wasn't in the 6s.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's also suffered from, you know, the inherited runners. Every time he comes out of the game, nobody can stop the game.
That is true.
That is really brutal. That's brutal.
And Ruiz has been the biggest culprit on that one.
It's been bad.
I mean, Ruben, 10 already this year. It's April 21st. Dude, Ruiz has given up 10 inherited runs.
That's terrible.
And he's still got an ERA over 6. Think about that.
Right.
Think
you,
about that. He's given up 10 runs that didn't count against his ERA, and his ERA is over 6.
Right.
Thank you. And so that makes it very difficult. One, he's not getting supported. I know his stuff is down right now. Two, he's not getting supported by his bullpen. And three, he's not getting, you know, support by his offense at all. And that makes for a bad combo platter.
It does.
But your stuff is down. Your stuff is so very down. You know, when
it's not so very down.
But hold
it's
on,
just down a tick.
We need to no more excuses for Aaron Nola. He looks like the same pitcher he did. It has looked the last few years. Like, he's just not as good as he used to be. Like, that's what it is. Aaron Nola is no longer a 2.
I'll declare that if we get to June 1st and still see this. I do think he is affected by the weather. I'm not saying that's an acceptable excuse, but I'm not ready to declare him a 4 until I see him pitch like this in warmer weather.
So here's the deal.
He ain't a 2, I'll tell
training,
you that. Maybe he's a 3.
In spring training, his stuff was better. His stuff was a tick higher than it is now. I mean, because the weather was warmer. I do think he gets affected by it. It should not be an excuse. I'm not saying I'm just stating a fact that his stuff is down because it's early in the season and the weather affects him.
Yeah.
That's not a great thing. It is a thing. It happens. But I think he will bounce back and he will gain some of the life on his fastball. I do believe that.
All right, 215-592-9494. Let's go to John right now in Allentown. John, good morning.
Hey, he'll get some life back on that fastball, and they'll hit it out faster.
Look at you.
That would stink.
I was disappointed.
It feels like they parked the curveball all the time.
No, some of the pitch selection and some of it was execution. That curveball that he threw, and I couldn't understand why to go three in a row to Lindor.
They did he not think he was going to hit the third one?
If they wanted to drive it down and have him swing over it, they wanted to throw it in the dirt. He didn't execute the pitch, but I was just surprised that he went three in a row
and
in
also,
that situation.
Rube, I mean, the final stats don't show it because it didn't count, but Soto's homer missed by, you know, a John Ritchie long hair.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting? He came back and pitched his tail off after that.
I know.
And kept him in the game. He literally...
He still gave that, it for all intents and purposes, karmically or not, he gave up a three-run homer.
I agree, John.
And it is interesting that, you know, he tried to ride a fastball in that situation, and Soto's one of the best high fastball hitting guys. If he has a 94-mile-an-hour fastball or a 93-mile-an-hour fastball right now, maybe you can do that. It's very difficult for him to make guys chase up in the zone because he just doesn't have the velocity to get through it.
All right, John and Allentown, we keep cutting you off, buddy. Go ahead. What do you got?
Listen, guys, I'm going to say this, and I don't want anybody to get angry. Here's the problem. The Phillies are a bad baseball team.
No, that's not accurate. I'm not going to get angry at you, but I'm going to tell you that's
not... Joe, name one thing they do well.
You ready for this?
Oh, you're
ready for this answer, John? To tell you how they're not a bad baseball team? They win more than they lose.
They're about to be 500 in 2 days.
I don't think so, John. Look, you could be proven right by the end of the season or middle of the season. I do not think the Phillies are going to be a sub-500 team this year.
Saying they're a bad baseball team is like the worst take I've heard.
Yeah, John, you're taking it too far, man.
Let's be realistic, guys.
It's not a bad baseball team. I've seen bad baseball teams. You watch that Miami team?
Yeah, me too. I've been watching Philadelphia Phillies all my life, so I've seen bad baseball teams. And no disrespect to you, Ruben, you were on a bad baseball team, and it looked a lot like this.
It didn't look anything like this.
No.
The teams in 92, 96, 97, and 98? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm with Ruben, John, you're overreacting.
I'm not overreacting, guys. You are so far off,
you know nothing about baseball. It's
clear
to me.
Oh, Mario just went there. He went top rope on you.
There, Ruben. Come on, man. You look like you didn't know anything about baseball.
For about 3 years, I didn't. But before that, I was pretty damn smart.
At least you own it.
Hey, John, give me a big answer. What was the big deal in the 90s no longer is? That still could be, but isn't.
One of the biggest deals to me is one of the reasons why I don't watch hockey anymore. Fighting in hockey.
Yeah, that's a great answer. God, is that a great answer.
Bad take, but a great answer.
They're not a bad baseball team, but they are sometimes not very smart. Offensively.
Frustrating, too.
And they're not as good as I thought
they
were.
They're not great. They're a great team. They're definitely not a great
team.
Not right now, for sure.
They're not. All right, Cam Jurgens. Let's give this guy a moment here. So, a couple things. First off, new contract, congratulations. Second point, well done by Howie, well done by Jason Kelsey any number of years ago, 3 years ago, I guess, identifying him and saying, this is a guy for the future. Howie and Kelsey look really good from that standpoint. Jurgens looks good with the way he's dug in. I mean, first he was a guard here, then he moved to center. Seems like a real pro, you know what I mean? There's no nonsense with Cam Jurgens. He also did something last January February I really appreciate.
Battled.
He played through an injury.
Unbelievable.
He played through
a real injury
that, by the way, required surgery after the season.
He couldn't even start the NFC Championship game. He had to come in
Came in.
That's the point,
which was really admirable.
Yeah, warrior stuff.
So yesterday, Jurgens gets awarded a 4-year, $68 million deal, close to $40 million of which is guaranteed. He talked in the press conference about the back surgery, or more specifically, the recovery from the back surgery that happened a couple weeks ago. Listen to Cam Jurgens.
Man, I feel like a new man. I feel so much better going through the playoffs and dealing with that pain. I'm sure a lot of people have dealt with that before, and, you know, it's not fun. But when you're going through the playoffs, and I'm not really concerned about me, you know, I'm kind of concerned about what I can do to help the team and do everything I can and to win. You know, when you're playing for a Super Bowl, you know, that's going to last forever.
Spoken like Ben Simmons.
Man.
Wow.
This guy is awesome.
You know what? And obviously,
come
to say I'm joking is an understatement. But you got to really respect this guy, Chad. I know he's your kind of guy. The way you played football, the way this guy plays football.
It's just such a reward to watch the way the O-line here operates.
That's right.
But, man, he's just it is such a crazy story. It's a fairy tale almost by NFL standards. A team and a forever great center, you know, and all-time, all-pro, right. You know, everything center.
Hard to replace. Look, Rube, you know Mike Schmidt. Took the Phillies about 5 years.
Yeah,
Brian Dawkins, it took the Eagles about 7 years.
Somehow,
you know, like
Howie,
it's remarkable.
It really that center makes this new center that transition, as smoothly as anyone's ever seen. I don't know. That really was something, and it's a credit. It's a credit to Howie. It's a credit to the organization. It's a credit. Huge credit to. To Kelsey.
I agree.
Huge credit to Cam Jurgens himself, the man who put the work in, the time and the effort, man. Just he's a worker and an unbelievably gifted athlete who does the same stuff that Jason Kelsey could do. Think about that. The guy who snaps and then pulls.
That's right.
Leads the sweep around the edge and then goes and tags that safety or cornerback, the tiny little guy who's supposed to be able to run away from him.
Yeah.
You know, you can't because he's too good an athlete. Really impressive stuff.
Props to Jurgens. He deserved it. He got it. And he's going to be an Eagle for a long time. All right, coming up in 1 minute, we're going to get John's sense of what he wants with this draft, whether it's a player, a position, how he wants Howie to go about the first round. John's opinion on that coming up in 1 minute.
You know you want lawn care service that provides better results and is safer for your family and pets. That's why I choose Natural Lawn of America. That's my lawn care company. And Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and pets. And by using organic fertilizers for safer weed and insect controls, they make sure your lawn thrives naturally season after season. With Natural Lawn, I know that my family's getting a beautiful lawn that we can all love. That's why it's my lawn care company. You can switch to Natural Lawn Safer Services and start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn you can be proud of, too. And if you schedule Natural Lawn's full-service program today, you can get free seeding every year. It's helped my lawn so much. If you want a greener, healthier lawn plus free seeding, call Natural Lawn at 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Choose my lawn care company, the locally owned and family-operated Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
All right, so great to have you with us on this Tuesday morning. We're obviously 2 days from the NFL draft, and we are, you know, 9 hours or so from another Phillies loss last night. Now, they play again today, but we're not in a good Phillies mood. By the way, A.J. Brown's obviously in a better mood than he was about 20 hours ago because he got his car back. So that was good news yesterday. If you missed it, A.J.'s car was stolen yesterday and recovered after our show. So AJ got his car back, which is great. All right, the draft coming up is also a good thing. Whether it turns into a great thing for the Eagles for years to come, obviously time will tell. But, John, we've been talking about this draft for some weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Strategy-wise,
yeah.
Whether it's a who or a what would you like to see how we do?
Well, this is boring.
Okay.
But it's very simple.
Okay.
We learned that there were not 32 first-rounders in the first round per the Eagles' estimation.
Yeah, what Howie said last week. That's right.
Howie said on a podcast or whatever somewhere. And so I'm fascinated by having that peak. I'm fascinated knowing that heading in. We've never known anything, ever. This is the most we've ever had.
What intel you mean?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we kind of knew they were going to draft Donovan, and we knew they were going to draft Carson, even though they could have drafted any number of people. There's been times where beans have been spilled. Is that the saying? Beans have been spilled? It doesn't sound right.
That's about right.
A spill the beans, you inserted it.
We kind of knew they were taking Donovan. We kind of knew they were taking Carson. Like, somehow we knew the Rams were taking Jared Goff. I don't know why.
Because Howie knew. somehow.
How could you possibly know where he's going to pick? What he's going to pick at 32?
Well, by the way, totally different. Because I just said two pick twos. Ruben, you're right. 32 and two. Totally, but Johnny,
I am fascinated to see how he does here. It's very simple. If there is a player who's a first round player on the board and available when you pick, when it's our pick at 32, if first of all, if you see a guy you love who's still there, who you did not expect to be there.
And are you defining there as 32?
Cooper DeGene type guy.
They're 32 or they're 27? Because they're two different
theirs. Right. I'm saying you might need to trade up. You know, that we're talking about what I would prefer I see the team do. If it's available and there's a guy who is a top 15 player who's still waiting around at 25, I do think it could behoove us to trade up. But I think more likely, based on what we've heard, the smaller number of first round guys in the first round and available, if we trade out, holy cow, we could accumulate more than the 20 picks we already have. You trade back for some team that's desperate, who knows what Howie could lift from their pockets. I'm excited by the possibility that we actually do draft someone, because I know that's going to be a cherished first round pick that deserved to be picked in the first round, but by the Eagles. That's the way that their room that we see when we talk draft, and it's Howie who's standing there with Mr. Lurie, and then that whole room of scouts and everyone else who's clapping and high-fiving and everything. Let's see that brain trust put to work, get the best guy that's in a first-round package, if he's there. And if he's not, trade out and get more picks. This could be a bonanza
over
the next 2 years.
I think the more picks thing has more credence than a lot of people think, and here's why. So all the talk of, hey, my squad's got 20 picks, so let's use them and let's package them. Very appealing. I'm not saying it's not. But there's also something to be said for just keep moving that forward. I mean, you could have the same strategy he's had in past years, trade down in any number of spots, and instead of having 20 at this time next year for the next two, you could have 23. Like, you could keep, and with how strong they are
more
now,
is better.
There's an argument that more down the road is better than more now. So it cuts both ways. Yes, you can use more now to couple them to move up. You can also just keep, and I don't mean kicking it down the road in a bad way. It's got a negative connotation. It'd be great for the 2028 Eagles to have tons of picks.
What's cool is he has the capital to be able to do both.
Absolutely.
He has the capital to go either way, depending on who's available and who's out there still in the draft.
That's right. And so he could draft up.
He could trade up. He could trade down. He has so many options because he put himself in that position years ago.
Yeah, I agree with that. So,
great stuff.
You know, as it relates to the first round, and technically this goes with any of the rounds, but let's focus first round because this is something Daniel Jeremiah was talking about yesterday. So there's where to pick, which is what John was just talking about. There's who to pick, but there's also which position to pick as you want to prioritize it in the first round. Let's listen to Daniel Jeremiah. He was on with John Clark on John's podcast. Daniel Jeremiah talking about positions and the Eagles.
Would you take, they draft an offensive lineman or defensive lineman, the lines, or you take in the field, everybody else, every other position? Which way are you going?
I'm going to go bigs. You know, they've gotten some corners and receivers and done all that, but this feels like a fortify the bigs year for them.
Fortify the bigs. I mean, they lost Becton, they lost a lot on the D line, so it's not an inconceivable concept at all. I would also, if you said to me, I get O-line, D-line, or everything else, which is more likely? It's one of the lines.
I totally agree, and I think, I mean, it was obvious. You win Super Bowls in the trenches. I mean, you need to have talent, obviously.
Last year, a corner. And a spectacular rookie corner, talking first round.
And they covered it already. I mean,
that's
covered.
Right.
And so now they got to fortify the lines.
But safety and tight end are issues. They really are. I mean, let's be real. The most glaring issues for this team from a starting standpoint for next year is safety and tight end.
Tight end doesn't have to be an issue.
Doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't.
But
probably, I mean,
I read a
prediction. Sunday. Is Dallas Goedert an Eagle on Sunday?
Probably not. And I don't think it has to be that way.
I know. I totally agree.
I honestly think it's 50-50. It literally is 50-50, and I think a lot of it depends on who's going to be available there.
All right, we'll talk to Elliot Shore-Parks coming up in about 10 minutes. Everything on the Eagles in the draft, which is obviously now 2 days away. Phil's really disappointing last night. And let's be real, for the whole in the season, disappointing. You know, I know they're, you know, in second place. I know they've been in wild card contention spot. Not that many people look at that, but I'm the dork that does. But something to me just feels off with this team. We can talk about last night all we want, and we will quite a bit today. But I also focus more on the big picture. And they're not as good as I thought.
Well, what about, well, hold
if
on.
If they win two of these, is these it, in is the next 2 games, are you going to be disappointed?
I think really it's early to say
it's
that.
It's very early. And
to say which way, to say which, to say which.
To say that
they're disappointing.
They're disappointing because the bullpen is not good.
That's disappointing.
No, well, that's.
That is disappointing, but. I mean, as the team as a whole, yes.
I'm going to give you two categories. Just, I'm going to break it down. Like, forget everybody, forget even Bohm. Forget all that. I'm going to give you two categories. Category one, bullpen, substandard.
Correct.
Category two, two of my most high-priced players in the history of Philadelphia sports, Nola and Trey Turner, let me down. Correct. Like, yeah. I'm not even getting to Bohm. I'm not getting to Rob Thompson's answers after press conferences, after games. Like, I'm not getting to any of the other stuff just with this commentary right now. If just bullpen, Nola, and Trey were better, it'd be a much better baseball team.
5 months to go.
I know.
Five.
I know.
5 months.
And the Mets are an example last year you can improve. And I'll say the Eagles in last season are an example. Because while the Eagles were winning at a great clip, I didn't think the Eagles were winning in the most impressive fashion for a good portion of the season.
Right.
They became a much better team. Much better team as the year went on. Obviously really hit their stride in the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. So, yes, in-season improvement can happen. But this team is playing with a little bit of fire right now. And I really don't expect a big move anytime soon. And it kind of feels like they could use one. Let's go to the phones. Also, I want to get more
with... the mindset or the identity of the team, Ruben. You remember the last couple of years, it's been a little more frivolous with the young guys, and then, you know, they put a stop to it. Hey, you're not that young.
That they did that.
What, you like the fact that
yes.
they did it? Does the
they're
team,
more businesslike? I think.
Okay. Does it seem like they're still like in need of something, like identity-wise, that would be, I don't know, something to grab onto? Some new, I don't even know what you'd call it.
Again, I think when you lose games late and you don't have guys finishing games from the 7th to the 9th, it makes it demoralizing and it brings you down. And if you're not swinging the bats the way you're not, you know, with the way they should be swinging or will be at some point, then it also puts a lot of, you know, it causes more tension in the clubhouse. But when those guys start to play the way we know and have seen them play in the past, particularly the guys on the offensive side of the ball, you'll see a little bit more, you know, frivolity.
I'll tell you one thing.
Is that a word?
Yes. I like it.
There you go.
Ruben, I'll tell you one thing that is going to be a factor this year, even if they rip off a 3-game winning streak and win 7-10. Fans will be quick to angst with small losing streaks. I'm an example of it. It's not like the Phillies have lost that much already, but you can even hear me turning. And I've been a pretty optimistic Phils guy, but like people are, this is going to be an emotional seesaw this year for the fan base.
Yeah, because the fans are scarred about what happened the last few
Absolutely.
Years. I totally get it, and I totally understand.
And that may affect the players, but they're going to have to battle through it. It's
also,
their job.
Oh, no question. And I think that people are going to have to look past it a little bit and just look at the big picture. And see where this team really is in June, because I don't really assess a team until you get into June, and that's when you know what you got.
Yeah, but I'll say this, Ruben, with this bullpen, man.
Well, they've been struggling, and it's bullpens are so fickle, man. Look, last year our bullpen was terrible in the beginning of the year, also. And they tightened it up a little bit.
Hoffman
started pitching great. Strom was ridiculous, you know, all year long. So, you know, you got to hope that guys like Kirkering emerge. You know, those guys have to emerge and pitch well. Otherwise, they're going to have to go look for people who can.
All right, let's get back to the phones. We'll talk to Elliot in a few minutes on the draft. Derek and Paoli right now. What's going on, Derek?
Good morning. Yo, real quick with the Phillies, though. it's a long way from home for them, but the boy, Rob Thompson, he got to stop with the, he's like making excuses for Aaron Nola. That's not a good look.
I'm getting tired of it. It's just not wise. The fan base doesn't want to hear some of what he's been peddling lately. Because
he's been in the league for a while, so it's not like he just now started pitching in April. You know what I'm saying?
Like, correct. And it's not like the northeast section of the country just started having 50-degree weather in April this year. I'm pretty sure we had 50-degree weather in April when I was 7 years old.
And it's going to be cold in October,
too. It's what it is.
It's October.
Correct. It's what it is. Right.
It wasn't even that cold out last night. I was sitting on the porch listening to the game, so I could have been out there pitching. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's been.
Who was the player on the Mets who had? Is that legal, Ruben? He had the fanny warmer around his waist.
That was Lindor.
Yeah, it was Lindor. He had.
It was weird.
Yeah, it was bizarre. His hands were cold.
Can I do it?
Jimmy
Eagles
was like that too
quick?
A little bit. He didn't like the. I mean, Jimmy didn't like the cold either. Jimmy Rollins,
mm-hmm.
And you know that affected those guys. Those guys, if their hands are cold and they can't feel their hands. You're sort of screwed.
James, I might need you to pull up that audio, James, of Devontae Smith on the bench a year or two ago when he was talking about how cold it was. Do you remember that? You'll find it. It's very funny. All right, Derek, go ahead, buddy.
No, I'm saying, like, I get the cold, but when you're saying cold, Ruben, like, how we talking about, like, the Eagles, it'd be like 20, 30 degrees out. Them guys ain't playing in that right now. It's 50 degrees out.
I agree.
At night,
no,
so.
Yeah, they, I mean, and it's.
That's a little extreme to say the cold. You know, it was a little breezy, but cold and breezy is two different things.
I think it's more of a fact. I think that's an opinion from Topper than it is an excuse. I think he just thinks that the reason why his velocity's not there is because it's because of the weather.
Have you seen that? I mean, we know that this is a guy who played in humidity when he was at LSU, that he's accustomed to that.
Yep. Yep.
But have you seen that drop in velocity based on the humidity?
I've really never noticed it with Nola in the past, but apparently that's happened over the last few years. Again, this is a guy who's thrown a lot of bullets now. I mean, he's not toast by any stretch of the imagination, but as you get older, I mean, there's some wear and tear, and he may have to pitch at 91 miles an hour. He may have to do that all year long, and in order to do that, he's going to have to be awfully fine with his stuff.
Derek, what do you got on the Eagles?
I was just with A.J. Brown, right? I do think he's a great player, man, but. You don't see like any. He's like a cancer. It seems like he's just all like it's him.
No, that's not fair.
You don't think he's a cancer though?
Nope.
No,
like that. The way that he's like, we rip MB for being a troll. Like AJ Brown be trolling, bro. You think it's just like how can
I think
he
he's got to play. I think he's got to listen.
Just troll us.
So like you're talking about when he had the Patriots video the other day, the Patriots jersey?
Come on, man.
Look, here's the deal. They just
I don't know.
Well, hold on a second. They just won a Super Bowl. And I think you should give him more grace on – it's a joke. He pulled a joke. Mm-hmm. So for those that missed it, A.J. Brown put a video up recently. He's got a Patriots 11 jersey, which obviously is his number 11. There's been some talk of him getting traded to New England. So he's holding the jersey, and then he's talking a little bit about, I don't know, it's happening or whatever. He turns it around, and it's Julian Edelman's jersey, who wore number 11. So listen, Derek, if this was last year, okay, after the freaking loss of the Bucs and they lose 6 out of 7, I would say, hey, AJ, come on, dude, not now. Because part of pulling a joke, part of doing anything in life is timing. I'm not worried about this timing-wise at all.
No, man, like even last year with that whole thing when he was like, what's the issue when he was like passing and then the thing with him and BG, we give him a lot of passes, man. I just hope you guys are right because this season is going to be real vital because – we lost a lot of leaders and a lot of pieces on that team. So if they start off kind of slow, that's a guy that I would worry about.
Okay,
you know
I'm not. But
I don't know.
All right,
that's
Derek,
my opinion.
Derek, give me an answer for what was a big deal in the 90s, could still be, but isn't for any number of reasons.
There's so many. I'm going to go with MTV.
MTV is a good answer. I think that – oh, God, I got to tell you something, John. I wrote this down the other day.
But MTV still –
nah, but it's not. No,
stop.
No.
Nope.
No. And it's one of 8,000 stations. It's hard to even find. Like, I don't even know what
number it is.
They don't
even have music videos anymore. It's just reality shows and stuff.
All right, you ready
why you would make a video now?
Here's the we're getting. So, you know, every once in a while I hear about someone's age and I say, oh, no. This is an example of us getting older. I got a new one. I wrote this down because his birthday is coming up in a few days, but I'll just say it now. Kurt Loder is about to be.
Don't say it.
80. No, he's not.
No, he's not.
Kurt Loder is turning 80 in a couple days.
No, he's not.
Kurt Loder.
The VJs, man. Like 80. JJ Jackson. Remember.
What was her name? Downtown Julie Brown.
Downtown Julie Brown.
How old is she?
Nina.
She can't be 70.
No, but she's probably 59, 60.
Come on.
Nina Blackwood. Downtown Julie Brown. Those
dude, that's
JJ.
Making me feel not nice.
It's not good, man.
It's not nice.
No, the Kurt Loder, I got to be honest with you. The Kurt Loder thing may have shocked me more than any age ever. The fact that that guy's 80, you're about to be 80.
You're making my heart stop.
I couldn't believe
with
it.
With that one.
I couldn't believe it. All right, Elliot Shore Parks will join us in a moment. I want to play this. Go ahead, John.
Nina Blackwood is going to be 70 in September.
Quit it.
I want to play this audio. We're talking about cold weather, and there was funny audio of Devontae. I don't know if this is the past year or 2023, but Devontae on the sidelines.
From 2022.
2022, talking about the cold. This is funny stuff. Listen to Devontae.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love that guy, man. I love him.
They're both from Louisiana.
Yeah.
The thing that's cool is he is really all business. Like he is so buttoned up and such a competitor. And like this guy, for him to be off the focus, for him to be off focus at all, it's just so rare.
Well,
he's played great.
He's played great in the postseason.
His numbers are ridiculous.
He's tremendous postseason player. Yep. Tremendous.
Devontae, he is just a machine in terms of the guy you want to depend on. Like we need a guy who we can depend on offensively, Phillies wise, that can bat behind Bryce. I would bank on the mindset right there. Like the mindset of belief. We're crossing it weird with football, but still.
No, he's a stud. There's no question. All right, coming up in a minute, Elliot Shore Parks. We're getting really, really close to the draft now. Elliot on the draft, including his big board of 10 options for the Eagles in their range of picks. Elliot on that coming up in 1 minute. Hey, Joe DeCamera here. Let me tell you about one of my favorite places, Family & Company Jewelers. Phenomenal people. Beautiful showroom, and obviously wonderful customer service with Junior and the entire squad eyeing. They know what they're doing. Guys, trust me, they know a thing or two, or more than two, about diamonds. They know it all about diamonds. They've been in business now for over 85 years, family-owned business. You know, their showroom's something you got to see to believe. I mean, you got to see this showroom, and they treat you great. They treat you like family. From the moment you walk in, right there on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, stop on by, obviously tell them you heard about them here on WIP with us and our show, and they'll take great care of you, even if you don't tell them you heard about them through WIP and our show. They'll take great care of you anyway, because they are the best in the business with what they do. If you are thinking about getting engaged, and I know right now a lot of people are, well, get yourself to Family & Company Jewelers. If you've identified the gal of your dreams, get her the ring of her dreams. A ring from Family & Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination. All right, let's talk to our guy, Elliot Shore Parks. He joins us every Tuesday. He's brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing?
Quite a bit, my man. Can Howie draft a reliever for the Phillies bullpen? I'm just asking for a friend.
See what you did there.
I'm sure he could acquire someone at the deadline that would help, unlike Dombrowski's been able to do.
Oh, so maybe,
damn.
You're not wrong.
Wow, that's rough.
You're not wrong. All right, so, Elliot, a lot of ways to go here. I actually want to start with let me say the Twitter poll right now, and then I want to get to your big board of 10. But Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. So, Elliot, we got two different poll questions, very different than the focus we've had with the draft, which is draft a college kid and, you know, get him and all that stuff. This poll question is, would you trade the Eagles' first-round pick for T.J. Watt? Would you trade the Eagles' first-round pick for Trey Hendrickson? Now, you told us last week you don't expect it to happen. Just give me the why if you could acquire a great edge rusher and plug and play into a team that already is a Super Bowl-ready roster, why do you think Howie wouldn't do it?
So I think there's a couple reasons he wouldn't do it. One, if you just know, the theme of the offseason really has been not handing out massive contracts to people that aren't already on their team. I know they paid Cam Jurgens a big contract. Obviously, Saquon got a contract. But they were not big players in free agency. And the reason for that is they expect to hand out a lot of big contracts next offseason to more of their own players. So I think that'll be one of the reasons Howie wouldn't do it. But I also think organizationally over the last year, they've decided they want to give their young players a chance. I remember at the end of the collapse in 2023, Howie talking about how they probably that season didn't give their young players enough snaps or opportunities to develop. And you saw last year that when there were holes on the roster, I guess, you know, perceived holes, whatever you want to call them, like they let young guys play. N'Kobe started. Nolan Smith got a ton of snaps. Like just across the board, they allowed young guys to get snaps. So I think by acquiring a veteran like T.J. Watt or Trey Hendrickson, A, you're paying them a ton of money when you acquire them. So I don't think they want to do that. But I do think they really want to give like Jalik Hunt, Nolan Smith, a potential edge they draft this year, real snaps next year to try to develop.
All right, Elliot, let's talk about your big board because this is really the focus. Who are they going to get at 32 or thereabout? Now, you put out yesterday your Eagles top 10 big board. To be clear, it's not who you think the 10 best players in the draft are, but guys in the Eagles range that you think would be good for them to target. You've got Walter Nolan, the defensive tackle from Ole Miss, number one. Why?
I just think he's such a perfect fit on this roster. And he's not Jalen Carter, to be clear. But I see elements of Jalen Carter in his draft profile. He's a great athlete. He's built like Jalen Carter. I think he has real pass rushing potential. If you look at some of the only defensive tackles over the last few years that had a pass rush win rate and a run stop win rate of over 10%, there's like five or six of them, I think. And Jalen Carter and Walter Nolan are two of the only ones that did that. So I think he's falling in the draft because he probably didn't reach his potential in college. And there are apparently, you know, you read some reporting, like some, you know, maturity issues, I guess. But ultimately, I think if he came into the Eagles building, he could turn into a Pro Bowl level talent. And you put him next to Jalen Carter, that truly is like a franchise altering duo that could carry this defense for years to come.
I love that building from the inside idea. I don't love the, I don't know, the maturity question marks, but then again, Jalen Carter, that was the big question when he was coming out. It's just there's a tipping point for that stuff. And I guess the Eagles need to figure out where that point is. How much confidence do they have in this group? That's the thing. With everything in flux, that there's a lot going out, Elliot. Has that been like discussed? I guess that's not something that's a public discussion, but the leadership quotient needs to be examined for this team, doesn't it?
So I agree with you. You lose Brandon Graham, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, obviously a vibes guy there in that way. So yes, you did lose some leadership, but I think they're really banking on guys like Nolan Smith, Cooper DeJean, Jalen Carter to be those leaders. Now, to your point, they have not really had to do that yet. I think last year, Jalen Carter did take on more leadership than he did as a rookie. But with Brandon Graham not in that room anymore, it's a big gap in terms of the veteran leadership. And they have a young group overall at that position. So to your point, you know, are they able to kind of bring along a player, really any rookie, and develop him into some of the players they have? Like, I still think they're able to, but, you know, this is why Nick Sirianni, you know, as a culture head coach is important, and they're going to need leaders on their team to absolutely take in whatever rookie it is and make sure they get the same leadership these past rookies have.
I have I'm looking at your ESP's big board. I do think it's amazing that ESP is really close to that other, the four letter. Like, you really could do something there. But the Malachi Starks, this is incredible. I really do like Walter Nolan, and Malachi Starks is another guy that is high on my list. I like the way that he plays a safety, a position of need for this Eagles team. What makes you like Malachi Starks, Elliot?
I think Malachi Starks is a really nice combination of a young player. I think he's just 22 or right around there. But also, I do think he brings like a high floor veteran type presence for a rookie. He's played at Georgia for a bunch of years. He's a really solid player. He can move all around the field. He can line up in man coverage up at the line if you need him to. He can play in the box. He can play deep safety. He can play single high safety. So he, I think, just coming from Georgia, is able to do a lot of things. Now, he doesn't have the athletic profile that a guy like a Nick Emanwiri has. So, you know, in that way, at the safety position, they have a decision to make. Do they want to go with a Malachi Starks, who is plug and play right now? Like, I think he could be a Pro Bowl player next year for the Eagles. Or are they going with a guy like Nick Emanwiri, who's a far better athletic profile, but not as ready? So what I like about Malachi is his ability to come in and play right away while also obviously still having, you know, a lot of years ahead of him as a rookie.
Elliot, who's the player, if he's available at 27, five picks before the Eagles, Howie just picks up the phone and calls the GM and says, I'm making a trade for this guy. Who's that guy?
So Walter Nolan, I think, would be one of them. But another name, since we haven't talked about this guy yet, is Donovan Ezeraku out of Boston College. They had him in for a top 30 visit. It's tough to project where he's going to go. Reading some online reporting, it seems like the Buccaneers really like him. I believe they pick around 20th, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, that's a potential spot for him. But if he slips past there, you know, he is one of the more accomplished edge rushers in the draft, just in terms of his pressure his pressure rate, his sack numbers. So if he's at 27, I do think he is one player, local guy as well, that maybe Howie would pick up the phone for.
Wow. That's exciting. No, that's exactly the kind of question I would want to ask you. Who's the guy that Howie would actually trade up into the round for, instead of trading back and accumulating more picks on top of the 20 that we have over the next 2 years? Donovan Ezeraku, or I'm not exactly sure how to say the name.
But you like him?
What an unbelievable attitude he has on top of the edge rushing skill. I mean, this guy really is. He's upbeat on top of upbeat, which is I really appreciate also. Well, but the fact that you say he was one of the top 30 visits, we know that the Eagles value them so much. Are there any other players that you can tell us who have been on a top 30?
Yeah, so I think we know about 26 of them, if I'm not mistaken. I won't, you know, read off the whole list. But another name that I think, based off the top 30, fans should try to learn more about over these next few days is Nick Scourton, the edge rusher out of Texas A&M. He's only 20 years old. He's one of the youngest players in the entire draft. And he has two things that, just in my experience covering Howie, I know he really likes in edge rushers. He has an electric first step off the line, so he's quick at the snap, and he has excellent bend. And those two things are things Howie really, really values in edge rushers. So he comes to the NFL with a bit of a pass rush, you know, repertoire. He does have some pass rush moves. That's normally what takes edge rushers the most time to develop, is just building that first move, the counter move, and attacking tackles with a plan. He already has a little bit of that. So when he was here, he talked to Brandon Graham. You know, that feels important to me. I don't think that was probably coincidental. So, yeah, I would say Nick Scourton, if they sit at 32, could definitely be a guy.
So 2 days to the draft, and Elliot with us right now. By the way, tomorrow, Jason Kelce with us on the program at this time. Thursday, we're going to have the Diddy, Ray Dittinger, on. So big-time draft coverage, obviously, in these final 3 days, you know, today, tomorrow, and then our show Thursday before the draft on Thursday night. Elliot, I want to play a game here called Was Daniel Jeremiah Spilling the Beans about Howie Roseman? So tight end is obviously a possibility, particularly if Goddard is gone. Could be a first or second round thing. Jeremiah was on with Mina Kimes yesterday. A lot of people think he was referencing a conversation with Howie when talking about tight end Mason Taylor, who could be a first or second round option for the Birds. You tell us, and I'm going to play this audio, was Jeremiah referencing Howie? You be the judge.
When I started mapping this out, I was I'll tell you afterwards, but with one of the better GMs in the league, and we were going through guys, and it was like, you start getting to the end of the round, you start looking at names, and it's like, I know exactly what I'm buying with Mason Taylor. Like, the rest of these guys, it's some hit and miss, and he's like, I know exactly who and what he is. So
all right,
we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Elliot, gut feeling. Was he talking about Howie?
Well, if he was talking about Howie, I can tell you this. They will not be drafting Mason Taylor, because I can't imagine Howie would tell anybody this close to the draft his honest opinion of a player. So maybe he was talking about Howie, but I just don't think they will take a tight end at number 32. Mason Taylor, I mean, what you hear there is not the profile of a player Howie will use a first-round pick on. He sounded like a safe pick. He didn't sound like an exciting pick. I don't think he has a great, like, special athletic profile. So, look, if Howie's on the board at 32, can't trade back, and there's just nothing there, maybe. But I think that'd be a very disappointing outcome in the NovaCare complex, honestly, if that ended up being the pick.
Elliot, what do we know about N'Kobe Dean's status and how that could impact this draft?
Yeah, so it's definitely maybe an under-discussed thing. You know, we haven't had a chance to talk to N'Kobe since the end of the season. Players did report yesterday. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk to N'Kobe over the next few weeks. But it's a big part of it because, you know, at the end of the year, Vic Fangio said he trusted Jeremiah Trotter, but he didn't put Jeremiah Trotter Jr., I guess I should clarify, out there. So, yeah, if N'Kobe's not going to be ready for training camp, we know Vic really values training camp and a chance to get those guys reps together. So, you know, would they take a Jahad Campbell at number 32? They might, honestly, if they don't think N'Kobe has a good long-term prognosis, especially with him being a free agent at the end of this upcoming season.
Elliot, good work, bud. Wow. Good work. Real good stuff. Look, we're all rooting for N'Kobe. It's a tough spot, you know, trying to figure out when he's going to play. And also, let's remember, he's also getting near the end of his contract. You know, part of what I'm saying,
he's a free agent at the end of the year. And the other thing I would say, too, and to your point, like, N'Kobe's been doubted before, and he had a great year last year, so I would not count him out. But when you suffer a foot injury and you're already not, like, a special athlete, N'Kobe can't really afford to lose even half a step, right? So I think when he comes back from this injury, it'll be really interesting for the Eagles to find out if he's the same level athlete.
Listen, part of the reason they moved on from Jordan Hicks, and he was a better player than N'Kobe, was he got injured a lot. Now, Hicks ended up having a 10-year career, but he got injured a lot here, and they just said, love him, but don't want to give him big money for a second contract, and it wasn't an unreasonable position. And N'Kobe's kind of got a similar profile. He really does.
I would just say quickly, like, the flip side of this, whenever we talk about players who, like, are injured all the time, is they don't get big money, right? So, like, I think N'Kobe, if he, you know, doesn't start, he plays some games, like, I could see them re-signing him on a backup-level contract. But I agree. Yeah. I would be pretty surprised if N'Kobe ended up getting big money from them at the linebacker position.
Elliot, good work, pal. We'll talk to you more this week. Thanks, man.
Awesome. Talk to you later.
Thanks, man. I got to tell you, Jordan Hicks, he's one of my favorite Eagles that no one ever talks about anymore. Because he kind of got washed away because they won the Super Bowl, and it's like, all right, you know, like, he was there, but he got injured, and then they just moved on.
You're right.
But
I loved him. Of him as an Eagle.
I loved – if he had been fully healthy the whole way, he would have been a great Eagle for a decade.
He was very skillful.
Oh, he was great.
In space, the space linebacker, and we just never really gave him the credit he deserved.
He kept playing, but he just kind of disappeared from here. All right, let's get to –
He went far away.
You went to Arizona, right?
Yeah, geographically. he went far away, very far.
All right, Kate in Northeast Philadelphia. Good morning, Kate.
Hey, Joe and Richie. Sucker, I wanted to congratulate you guys on your early morning show.
Thank you, Kate.
So, like,
well, thank you.
Out of, like, the 312 friends that I have, I mean, guys used to know me, like, I mean, my God, my friends of years, you know, I was born in 1981. So funny. You guys know me. They're like, what are you going to do on your 11 o'clock lunch break? Like, you're not on anymore.
Kate, have you not called us for 2.5 years? Or?
Yeah, I haven't. Exactly, because that's my sleep time.
Yeah, well, it was
my goodness.
So it was my sleep time, too.
What? I got promoted.
Where has the time gone?
I'm dead now. Yeah, I'm on, like, you know what I mean? But really funny, I wanted to tell you, I won't keep you long, I wanted to just congratulate you guys.
Thank you. It's great to hear from you again.
And I missed you guys so much, and I didn't realize, like, how obsessed I was with all of you guys, and it's so funny, Seltzer was like, no. But I'm going to tell you a funny story really quick. I have a really good answer to the question of the day.
Sure.
Because, you know, I was born in 81. But before I say that, I was on my way to the airport about, like, 3 weeks ago, right? So, you know, I live in Northeast Philly, so I'm going, I was flying out to San Diego to another wedding, and I had you guys, like, you know, and you were doing, like, famous quotes.
Yes.
So, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yes.
Jaws 1975 comes out in the theaters. So I was born, you know what I mean? So they're going to replay it. I just found out. You know,
well, that's pretty cool. Look, let me tell you this. I wish movie theaters would play old movies more
often.
Dude,
I've been saying this for years.
I would go.
I think it's a way to make movie theaters a big deal again.
Let me put it this way, Kate. Better chance I go to a movie theater tonight if it's what's out right now in a movie theater or Terminator 2.
Terminator.
It's not even close.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
right, Rube?
I'm right with you.
Not even close.
The experience is way better.
Like, he doesn't understand. And, like, everything, like, makes sense. Like, because we're in the same age bracket. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, you know what I mean? And now I'm like, oh, my God, I miss it so much. Because they don't understand. You know, like, what's a pager? Like, what's this? Like, what's that?
Yeah. All right, so what's the right answer for what was a big deal in the 90s? Could still be, but is not.
The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Not anymore.
They do a reboot.
He's lost
of it,
a little,
but it was
a little luster.
Well, she said. Well, so am I writing down Will Smith or the show? I need an answer.
I think she said the Fresh Prince.
Yeah, I think she was doing the show.
That's what I thought.
Show.
And listen, of course, it's not going to be as big
a
deal. It was 30 years ago. I mean, yeah, we can go round and round with a million. Kate, love you. Great call, but I mean, like, we can say 90210. We can say Saved by the Bell. I mean, yeah. Now, Tiffany Amber Thiessen would be a better answer. You know what I'm saying? Just because she was a big deal and now isn't. That's a better answer than a show. Of course it's not going to be a thing 30 years later other than in reruns.
Is there something going on with you and Kate?
No, but she did seem like she dug the hammer, and I appreciate
she,
that.
Come on, yeah. Dude. There well, was I mean, a
you
special
felt that?
Spark.
You heard a little pep in her step, right?
There was something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe a little.
Reference that we're around the same age, all
oh,
that stuff.
That,
it's like I
caller.
Could hear your
yeah.
heart
I
beating
you were talking
over
about,
here.
Oh, Tiffany Amber Thiessen?
Yeah, I thought you were talking about Tiffany.
No, Tiffany Amber Thiessen, not digging the hammer.
No.
But Kate, I'm a taken man,
oh, no,
but I appreciate it.
No,
I appreciate it. I mean, it's still...
Well, that's a little too late. I mean, if I were Amy, I'd be
look at you.
Offended.
This is where John just starts, starts trying
she
to cause
was,
trouble.
Well, he has she, some. He had,
it seemed there, like there was something
there's
going
a reason.
On there.
This is where
between Joe and Kate.
I sensed a little
this
something.
Is where
more
I
than just a casual conversation.
Right.
This is where I'll say to John, he wasn't here the last 4 days. What was he doing the last 4 days?
Right.
Two can play at this game. 215.
Also a good point.
Well, but it doesn't really do anything because we heard the spark.
Right.
We heard the spark.
I
right.
could
with
sense
Kate
a little something, something.
You're, ready for a word? Enough.
All right.
I'm amazed at what guys think they hear sometimes.
All right. Andrew Painter to the bullpen. Ruben says absolutely not. Why? We'll get into that next. Also, some very funny audio last night in sports broadcasting. Relate it to one Shaquille O'Neal. What happened? We'll play it for you now. He pulled it to camera. I'll just say
no
that.
No way.
He pulled.
No way.
You think about what you think that means.
Come on.
You think about what that means.
Does
it
he
mean a
realize
lot of
the depths that he plunged himself into?
You'll hear it next. Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie on 94 WIP.
Phillies Nation, the season's about to heat up, and it is your time to swing for the fences. Every time the Fightins strike out 10 or more batters in a home game, you score. That's right. When they fan double-digit batters at the bank, you'll get a $5 casino bonus to play Philadelphia Phillies Slingo exclusively on BetMGM. Best part, you can claim this bonus once per week, every Monday through Sunday throughout the baseball season. So keep cheering on the Phils, celebrate those strikeouts, and get ready to take your thrills to the next level. BetMGM is a proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies and an official gaming partner of Major League Baseball.